Growth comes from vision. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Growth comes from vision. What sort of vision do we have to have a beautiful growth, a lovely growth, an advantage in our life? If we do not have the ability to see what we'd like to experience, we very seldom experience it. The ability to have within ourselves imagination, the ability to have within ourselves dreams, the ability to have within ourselves all of the wonderment that a child has. And who knows what a child has, to be honest about it. Have you been in a child's brain recently? Have you ever been in a child's brain? Yes, when you were a child. But do you remember what it was like to be in a child's brain? Do you remember what it was like to have the vision of a child? To be able to see things that were not there? To be able to see experiences from beginning to end and enjoy them totally and to be satisfied with them? We have, unfortunately, looked at the world and wanted everything that everybody else has. And the ability to look at the world and want everything that everybody else has is something that has been trained into us. We've been trained into it to want what others have, and forgetting the wonderful, magnificent talent that we have for creating in ourself who and what we are. Now, who and what are we? Who are you? What is your goal in life? What is your desire for yourself? What is your choice of what you'd like to have, what you'd like to experience, what you'd like to be? What is it in your life? Well, most of us don't even know. We don't even know. Do you have the vision to say, yes, I would like to live here? This is a good one, a very good one. Yes, I would like to live here and now. I would like to be aware of what I'm doing this moment. I would like to be aware of what choice I am making for myself this moment, making for myself this instant, making for myself now. Now, check with yourself. Can you honestly answer that and say, I know what I want for myself now? Can you honestly answer yourself and say, I know what my desires are for my life? And right now, is your desire going to be ever-changing according to what you see other people have? According to what you see the universe has? According to what you see life has? They've had some recent articles in the science magazines about how the Neanderthal man and how all of the various early man that was predecessor of mankind of today, that they had built in immunity to conditions in their life, built in immunity to their conditions that were helping their immune system and helping them to be more dynamic and wonderful people. Now, the scientists are finding that the little bits of the DNA and the immune system that they are dredging up from the ancient dead, they're finding that that system remains in us today. That system stands in us today as part of our immune system, part of our ability to handle things. And some people have it, and some people don't. But why is it some people have it and some people don't, when we all theoretically have come from that ancient of age, the distant culture of mankind that once was our brother, once was our forebearer? What is it that keeps us from having these various beneficial things in our body which we were born with? Every man, woman, and child is born with the idea that they're, not the idea only, but with the reality that they are absolutely perfect, that every organ, action, function of their body is perfect, that their ability to live is in a perfect, ideal body. Now, we tout this phrase so often, thoughts are things, but it's true. And early man may have felt overwhelmed by his circumstances at times, and in his overwhelm, he may have felt sorry for himself. And in feeling sorry for himself, he quite likely put the mental apparatus in motion to still those beneficial cells in his body. For if we tell our body that our cells are not beneficial, our cells are not doing a wonderful, magnificent job for us, that's just what they're going to do. If we tell ourselves that we're living a very short span of life, that's what we're going to do. If we tell ourselves that we are living immortally, that's what we're going to do. Oh, we have some objections in our body, in our mind, in our world against that. But people who live free from that objection, people who live free from those attitudes that pop up in their mind and tell them that they have limitations about themselves, people who live that way are actually the way we start out. The mother can have two attitudes. She can say, my child is perfect, or, oh, I hope my child is perfect. I would like my child to be right. I hope my child doesn't have the problems that we had in grandma or in grandpa or in mother and father and sister and brother. I hope my child doesn't have, well, you see, when you're putting those sorts of causes in motion, you're tying that child to those causes. Because the child, in its awareness, in its consciousness, in its being, had no idea of what grandma and grandpa had, of what other people had. You say, well, as we research these children and go into them and find out their DNA, we find they have it. But how did they get it? Where did it come from? Well, I believe that thoughts are things. And when we put thoughts in motion that these things happen, they happen. Now, if every day of your life, if in the now, we could practice saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live, you know, that gets tiring after a while. And sometimes it gets super tiring because we don't see the results. Hanging on in the back yard of our mind are the thoughts that we don't live in an ideal spirit, mind, and body. We have problems. We have headaches. We have problems of neck aches. We have problems of back aches. We have problems of our body not digesting food properly. We have problems of this, that, and the other thing. We name these things and we claim these things, and then we wonder why we have it. Well, right now, if we could take our vision and visualize idealness, an ideal world, an ideal life, an ideal self. If we, in our vision, could go to the movie in our consciousness, and we're the director, we're the creator, we are the producer of that movie, and we are the actors in that movie, and we are the audience too. And if we could go to that movie and see ourselves, wonderful, create ourselves, the actors in the movie, having ideal bodies, ideal minds, now, right now. We can do that too, and we do that sometimes. Sometimes we feel very, very happy. It's like winning the sweepstakes, you know. A second before you won it, you were whatever you were. The minute you won it, you said, wow! every cell of your body percolated and came alive, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in the world could win the sweepstakes? Well, you say it would be rather meaningless if everyone won the sweepstakes, because then everyone would have the same thing everybody else have, and it wouldn't be such a wow experience anymore. Oh, really? Oh, really? What sort of pessimist are you? What sort of pessimist are you that you'd say something like that? If I said to a little boy, "You're whole and perfect," and the little boy looks at me and says, "Yes, I'm whole and perfect." And then I went to the next little boy, "You're whole and perfect." He says, "Yes, I'm whole and perfect." And I went to the little girl, "You're whole and perfect." She says, "Yes, I'm whole and perfect." And I went all around the room to all 30 children in the classroom, and I said, "You're whole and perfect." And each one said, "Yes, I'm whole and perfect." Now, would the experience be any less for any of the children? And they really are whole and perfect. Having the awareness of the whole and perfect, would it be any less exciting if everybody were whole and perfect? Would it be any less exciting if one person won the sweepstakes or 1,000 people won the sweepstakes? Would it be any less exciting? What do you do when you win the sweepstakes? You find ways to enjoy it. You find ways to enjoy it. What do you do when you say you're whole and perfect? You find ways to enjoy it. You find ways to live in your whole and perfect body. You find ways to visualize all of the glorious things you do in your whole and perfect body. Now, actually, you don't do much different than you do all the time, except you have this attitude, this vision of the whole and perfect body. Theoretically and actually, we go around our life and we don't realize that we have problems and there and problems there. They crop up now and then and they get into our attention. But then if we were 100% of the time embroiled in our problems, we would be dead. We could not handle it. But rather, it just comes up whenever we turn our thought to it. Our problems come up when we turn our thoughts to them. Otherwise, we're living in a paradise. We're living in a bliss. We're living in the wonderment of magic, of life, of wholeness. That's true. The ability to live now is what we do. But the ability to know that we live now and to live now knowingly is something quite lovely. It's something quite beautiful. All the children in the class, you tell them they're whole and perfect. They live in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. They say, "Wow, yes, that's good." And you say to 1,000 people, "You've won the sweepstakes." And they say, "Wow, wow, wow." And in that instant, for that moment, however long they're thinking they've won the sweepstakes, they are living in paradise. They're living in bliss. They're living in the abundance that they have. Now, need I push the issue? It's all mental. They haven't one moment received one penny from the sweepstakes that they've won, but they're in bliss. They're in a state of consciousness of happiness and joy and peace and wow, yes. The children in the classroom, when you say, "You're whole and perfect," and they're whole and perfect, what difference is there between being whole and perfect and not being whole and perfect? Well, the difference is the awareness. Pure and simple, the awareness. If you are aware now that you are whole and perfect, you feel, that's pretty good. And if you are aware now you're not whole and perfect, you say, well, not so good, you know. But it's all awareness. It's all awareness. Now, many people say living in a world of fantasy, living in a world of untruths, living in a world of unreality. Unreality! Well, where is reality? Where does reality start? Where does reality end? Where does reality begin? Who puts reality in motion in our life? The little child is born. The parents love the little child. They say, how wonderful. Let us do everything we can to make this child's life happy and glorious. And their own motivation soon shifts, and they find it not much fun to always be doing things for the child. Now, what do parents do who look forward for the child? They build a college fund. When he's born, sure, by the time the child is ready to go to college, then he'll have enough money to go to college. But you build a college fund, and you put enough in it each month so that by the time the kid goes to college, he'll have enough money to go to college. But my God, I got five kids. How wonderful. Then you have five college funds. I can't do that. Yes, you can. You see, you say you can't do it. You say it's beyond my ability. It's beyond my talent. It's beyond my checkbook. It's beyond my bank account. But no, it isn't. The moment you put a cause in motion, the law of the cause and effect, bring that cause into motion, fulfill it in your life, and you have the five bank accounts, and you have the wherewithal to fill those five bank accounts so that by the time the children are ready for college, you have money for them. Now, what you could do, and which would be a lot of fun, you could see our government is so fantastic, like Kiwat. Our government is so fantastic, we have so much money that we pay for the college of anyone who wants to go. And we send them to college as long as they're able, willing and able to get passing grades. If they can't get passing grades, we're trying to do something that's not being cooperative. They can have passing grades. Well, then we train our children. Now, that's a nice government to live under. Now, we train our children that they live in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. My goodness, how nice. They live in their ideal spirit, mind, and body. And when they live in their ideal spirit, mind, and body, then we say they have genius about them. Our children are geniuses. We don't worry about the rest of the world, although we know that every child in the world is a genius. That's just a nature of being a child. And it's a nature of being human beings. Every human being is a genius. So when I say that, and I know that, and I am that, then I experience that. Now, growth comes from vision. No matter how we look at it, growth comes from vision. So if I can imagine a bank account for every one of my children to go to college, it'll be there. If I imagine myself, it's sacrosanct, I cannot touch it for any reason whatsoever, and I never have a reason to touch it. I live an abundant life, and there's no problem. But can you, right now, have this ability to see tomorrow, to see today, to see all time? All time I am abundant. All time I have all that I ever desire. All time I am the magic one. Yes, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, and that's how we're going to live our life. Now, are you ready to live your life like that? Stops and starts, you do live your life like that. But live it like that every single day, knowing that you are whole and perfect, knowing that you are a genius, knowing that you are independently wealthy, knowing that you live in a good and very good world, knowing that all is in divine order, knowing this is who I am right now, today, this minute, this second, this now. And if I take care of the now, The rest of life will take care of itself. If I take care of the now, the rest of life will take care of itself. If I take care of the now, the rest of life will take care of itself. That's what it's all about. That's what you're all about, and that's what I'm all about. The rest of life will take care of itself if I take care of the now. Let's work on it, shall we? We'll talk more on this because it's a wonderful topic. And it's the truth about you and about me and about life forevermore. I love you. I love you. I love you.